Circe Olson-Wessner. I'm the director of the Museum of the American Military Family in Tejeros, New Mexico, and this is our podcast, At Ease. I'm speaking today with Jamila Horton, who's a Navy brat in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hi, Jamila.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Hey, so I wanted to, address that we're in a pandemic, and so we're doing this phone interview. I personally am in day 43 of working out of the house, and it's been quite an adjustment for me. So how are you doing?
I hate to say it's a walk in the park, but I've been doing it for about 10 years, give or take.
10 years. So you've been self-quarantined for about 10 years? Can you explain that a little?
Sure. I unfortunately got sick. It's a unique situation because doctors haven't quite figured out what's making me sick. And I have several chronic illnesses I'm dealing with. But unfortunately, I got to the point where I had to stop working and thankfully was able to get on SSDI. And from there, just try to find ways to keep myself sane. And I've had quite a bit of practice compared to everyone else around here right now.
Yeah, well, that was going to be my next question. So, so many people are, on 30, 40 days, and they're chomping at the bit to try to get out. They're going a little bit nuts. So what's kept you sane and going on for so long? What's given you hope?
Well, first it started off with doing a lot of sleeping. Come to find out, world, I mean, it is stressful being an adult or just anyone in general being out there. So just that, just trying to rest up and focus on being stabilized. But the other part that really, truly helped me was art. Any and every form of art. Anywhere from music to poetry through writing. I'm an artist by nature, however, wasn't able to get taken off and since I got sick, but I mean, overall, just expressing how I feel because I can't do it in a regular way, and that's just the best I can say. I mean, just watching my music videos, I mean, different types of songs for different emotions you're feeling, and just finding another avenue or way to expend your energy.
Well,
and reading. Reading helps too.
Reading too.
Tons of books. Tons of awesome writing out there.
Yeah, so let me ask you a couple questions. You said all sorts of art. Drawing, colored pencils, paint, markers. What do you do? And then, of course, what are some of your favorite books?
Oh, well, let's see. Before I got sick, I was doing a lot of drawing and painting. The last latest thing I was working on was printmaking from my sketches that I did off of clouds, working on a thing called Cloud World. When I got sick, it switched over to writing. Beforehand, I did some poetry in the past, but it just really took off. It was like another piece of me just came to play or just unlocked itself, and it's just been flourishing that way to express how I feel in any way, happy, sad. I mean, and as for reading, I love a good, thick, juicy fantasy novel. Either that or something like Angels and Demons kind of thing.
sort of a spiritual, historical fantasy kind of thing.
Yes.
Cool. We may revisit the books in a little bit, but so let's think about your poetry and your lyrics and even your art, but mostly let's focus on your poetry and lyrics. What inspires you? What gives you an idea to write? And do books that you are reading also inspire you to think of topics to write about?
Yes. Well, for the books at first, once again, it's just an escape because you just want to be far away from your current reality as possible. So that's my suggestion, just to start off with. Hopefully things will turn around with the pandemic sooner than later, but if not, in the meantime, it could be interest, say like certain hobbies that you had picked up or has kind of stopped. Now the time to pick it back up. I mean, do stuff you've never done. I mean, really get out there and focus on other things aside from the daily grind, 9 to 5 and whatnot. And as for songs, let's see, it could be, it just, I don't know, it's weird. Sometimes I have dreams and it'll just be like, oh, I need to write this down, or oh, I need to sing this out. Or sometimes I'll be just focused on music video channels or even competition shows, music shows. And from there, I'm able to glean just creating my own song, my own beat and whatnot. So at first, it did start off with expressing the pain I've gone through and the heartache and the grief and and just a way to just soothe myself, in other words.
Right.
So,
So,
yes.
So you draw your inspiration from a variety of things, like TV, like stuff that you dream about in the night. You just wake up and say, oh, my God, I've got to write this down. Things you've seen. That's cool. So I know that you told me that you write in all genres and you hear the music, because you don't read or write music, do you?
No. That's correct. I do not have any traditional or classical training at all.
So you hear the music or a tune or even the accompaniment in your head. So tell me a little bit about how that process works.
Well, normally when I write my songs, it normally starts off with a chorus. For whatever reason, that's typically how I start my songs off. Each new song is with the chorus. And then from there, I guess the best way to explain it is kind of like a puzzle, looking for puzzle pieces to find out what will fit certain words, certain meanings that I want to get across. And most of my music, I would like to say, tend to be inspirational, but also any and everyone can relate to it. I was trying to be really thoughtful when I was writing down my lyrics, especially with the chorus. So I figured, since I can't help myself, then I would find some way creatively to come up with ways to help others.
Wow. So you start with the chorus and then you try to work in the other things. So what are some of the topics? When you say you're inspirational, what are some of the topics of your songs?
Well, it's a good chunk of it is related to my illnesses, my chronic illnesses. For instance, I unfortunately experienced intense pain in different areas of my body. And I'm thinking, okay, well, this is crazy. Like, why isn't this going away? You know, I'm doing everything right. I, you know, lead a healthy life, you know, hardly indulge in anything. Doctors tell me I'm doing this and that, but they can't figure out. So it's like, why am I going through this pain? You know, what's the reasoning? And even asking God from time to time, you know, what's, I mean, just why? Why me?
Right.
I mean, I'm a decent human being and just want to get out there, enjoy life, and help others along the way. I mean, because we all could use help sometimes.
Right.
I mean, I just, mostly of it's based off my illnesses. From why is this happening to can anyone help me to, well, maybe it's just meant to be, you know? And just, in other words, I guess, kind of go through the 5 stages of grief in a way. So acceptance, if you will. I mean, I've made peace overall, thankfully. But what it helped me get there was through art, through my song, through my lyrics, through my thoughts and ideas of knowing that eventually I will get better. And when I do get better, using keywords, when I do, not if,
but
when I do get better, then I'll be able to get out there and start sharing my thoughts and creativity with the world, with people, to hopefully either make someone smile or help someone out if they're going through a tough time.
So inspirational. And I imagine there are days when you're angry or you're just done. You're just so sad. And so you've probably got songs that go along those lines too.
Oh, Oh, yes. I do have a few angry songs. No cuss words. I, unfortunately, am not one of those who like to cuss often, unless it's absolutely necessary. So I was keeping that in mind because, once again, I just want it to be relatable to just about any and everyone of all walks of life. Mm. No matter who you are, race, creed, color, sex, situation, you can just about relate to just about all my songs. And they're not all angry, they're not all sad and depressing or inspirational. I'm a romantic at heart, so I've written quite a few love songs. For instance, as we said, I dream a lot. I have good dreams. I'm living in my dream, so I am not sick in my dream. Those are the only way I'm able to escape my reality. I don't recommend that for everyone. You know, you do want to be awake and living and moving around, because trust me, your body gets old and tired and sore in areas if you don't utilize it too much. So,
right. do you have plans to publish your songs, or do you have a website, or how are you getting your stuff out there? Your artwork, your poetry, your music. How are you? Are you sharing it, or are you keeping it right now for yourself?
Well, because I was extremely sick, it was even just 2 years ago, I really thought that was going to be the end. I was in and out of the hospitals that whole year in 2018, and I really thought I wasn't going to make it. I made my peace with that. And just hoping that maybe my family members or someone would pick up my stuff and share it with people still. But thankfully, with the latest information, newest doctors that came into play, I have greatly improved to the point where I feel ready and comfortable now to try to get something going to get my artwork out there, my song, to start sharing with people. So. I feel like I'm ready, and I feel like I have the energy and the will to do that now. Things don't seem so hopeless or ending, if you will. So, as of right now, just trying to reach out through families and friends, close families and friends right now, and getting their input first and foremost. I know a lot of them don't realize that I have this artistic side when it comes to singing, or let alone writing songs. But so far, I've gotten great feedback. So just right now, trying to figure out, in spite of this pandemic, how to go about the next step in getting in touch with someone on a professional level.
Right. Well, we'll have to put our heads together and think of some ideas for you. I wanted to switch gears because, you know, April is the month of the military child, and we're still in late April, so it's still military child month. And I wanted to ask you, as a Navy brat, where all did you live, and what are some of your best and hardest memories of being a brat?
Well, I have to say it. I have been very fortunate to be born in a family of military parents. Both my parents are veterans from the Navy. They've met because of the Navy. And I was born in Hawaii, of all places. I miss it. I miss home. It's not the same here in New Mexico, but it'll do in a pinch for the most part. And I do hope one day to be well enough to go back. But let's see, I've lived there. I've lived stateside from Charleston, South Carolina to Maryland. Got a chance to see family members from both sides. One of the most interesting places that I'll be honest, I was there as a kid during my middle of my high school years, living in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. And that was a very challenging time, meaning that I was there during the mid to late 90s, where they were sending Cuban refugees back to Cuba from Florida. And I want to say, as of now, the camps that they have for the individuals who are staying there now, that is the same area and location where they had the Cuban refugees. it was just a whole completely different way of life. I mean, talk about being completely isolated. You're on a military base on a foreign country where you can't go out and explore the rest of the country. Well, this is where everything had been closed off.
That's where I wanted to ask you. So did you ever get to see Cuba or only the base?
Only the base. However, there was one time we had a school field trip where we got a chance to go to the actual borderline mm-hmm. that separated the U.S. military side mm-hmm. and the Cuban side, and heard some interesting stories of terrifying stories back then, certain situations that had happened or occurred that could have, you know, set off another world war. I'm not sure if anyone's familiar with the Cold War, but if you look it up, I mean, that's one main reason why things are the way they are in Cuba. So
moving obviously was a positive for you as a brat. What other good memories do you have of being a brat?
Well, always meeting new people. And the other best memories, I remember, like, every time we moved, I hate to say it until we moved here, but every other place we moved at, my mom, my sister, and I, because my dad ended up staying in the military longer than my mother, so therefore, you know, she tried to keep some type of stability for us, but we always traveled and saw new places and visited, you know, historical sites and cool tourist places and whatnot. So, for instance, when we stayed in Maryland, we went to Washington, D.C., you know, state capital. I mean, all that. I mean, the Smithsonian Museum, you know.
Right.
I mean, I could go on and on, and it was an awesome experience. And even though I didn't go with my parents all the time, I even went for school functions. There was one time I went to Annapolis for a school field trip. I mean, I'd never experienced anything like it. So here I am coming from Hawaii, and then we moved to Maryland, you know, all the way in the East Coast,
right?
You know, and experiencing all this. But and as you had asked me earlier, you know, some of the harder times of being in the military,
right?
As a brat,
right?
Well, it was the isolation. Unfortunately, you don't get a chance to keep your friends,
right?
If you're lucky enough, you can stay in contact through writing. This is before internet, people, you know, it's called pen pals. Look that up. It's, you know, pen and paper or pencil and paper, and you write out your thoughts, and then you send it and mail it, you know, and then you have to wait quite a while, because it depends upon where you're located in the world, if it will get there to your friend or whatnot to stay in contact.
Right.
So
yeah, now we don't write letters. It's a forgotten art.
I think we should take that up. Now's a good time with the pandemic. Just saying.
So what else do you think was hard about being a brat?
Well,
Did your parents deploy while you were little, you and your sister?
Yes, my father did. Yes. He does not talk about it much, but I am aware of some of the places he has visited that he can disclose.
Right. Yeah, don't tell anybody. But just so that we wouldn't have to, you know, have you give state secrets out, national secrets. But listen, so he did deploy. And so what did your mom do to kind of compensate for that while he was gone?
Well, mom just, I mean, she took over, you know, taking care of the household, and she kept me and my sister always active. So we did a lot of different sports activities in school and out of school, and just go out and have fun and enjoy life. I mean, like I said, travel, try new things, you know, go to interesting restaurants or places or, like, an amusement park or whatnot. And then, of course, she really got us in our love of reading books. So, once again, we were fine if we had a good, juicy book to read. So,
well, do you think?
Oh, and video games. Can't forget video games. That is life. It wasn't always around. Thankfully, it was around the time frame for my sister and I. Yep. Look up original Nintendo. Just saying.
What was I going to say? I was going to say that Generation X is getting its moment of glory, apparently, because it was the first one with the video games, and they're completely content right now in this pandemic, playing video games and doing all the things that it it did as latchkey kids back in the day. So really quick question for you. Do you think being a brat has helped you be able to be more self-contained? I mean, you know, 10 years of being homebound, but do you think maybe that resiliency of being a military kid or, you know, having to fend for yourself a little bit has been helpful?
Discipline? I do. I think it was a good tool, a very important tool on how to deal with the real world at a much, much early age. And as for me being sick, I was sick a little bit at times when we were still traveling around and whatnot, so that didn't help. It was a learning experience for all of us. But yes, I think leading up to now, it did help prepare me mentally, physically, emotionally to pretty much survive, because I've until this year, these past 10 years, I've just been surviving. And when you're in the military family or just involved in the military period, you're surviving. It's not a job for everyone. It is a service to the country, which I am so proud of. I wish I could have joined, but I just got sick, unfortunately. Right. But aside from that, I am internally grateful of the experiences that I have experienced throughout my, well, short life. But I mean, I'm almost 40, so at least a good half of my life, you know, I got a chance to see a little bit of the outside world and experience and meet so many people and places.
Right. Do you have a favorite poem or a particular song lyric that you are really, really proud of? And maybe, I know I'm putting you on the spot because I didn't mention this, but that you can share with us, or at least the concept of it?
Well, one of my first earlier songs when I first started getting sick and whatnot was The Medical People. Without them, I wouldn't be alive.
Right.
And I've always believed that each and every human being should, at some point in their life, give servitude in some way to help someone in any way they can, you know. I mean, not everyone has the ability to give a clothes off their back, but you can volunteer, you can write, you know, positive messages, you can make someone's day, because at the end of the day, we're all human. We all matter. And we have our ups and downs, and my song is called I Won't Let. So, in other words, the concept is, I won't let you falter, I won't let you fall down. So, say, for instance, someone falls down in front of me, I'm going to come to you and ask if you're okay. I'm going to help you up.
Right.
Whether it's, you know, physically, you know, metaphorically, in any way, in other words. One of the great things about me being sick, I've met a lot of medical individuals who go through their own, you know, issues, ups and downs, good highs and lows. I've come across a lot of people who, you know, if for some reason able to share, you know, a little bit about my experience, and I've been able to help them out with the information that I have obtained throughout all these years. So this song is pretty much, I won't let you down. I won't let the world down. I won't let people down. As long as we are still breathing, I feel like there's always going to be people out there that will come together when it's really needed, and we won't let each other down.
Kind of like now. Kind of like now with this pandemic.
Yes.
Wow.
This is this is unheard of. I mean, I hate to say it, it's kind of like our medieval plague in a way,
right,
but I feel like as long as we have people out there who are willing to not let anyone down, we won't let it down, we won't let you down, we will not let this world down, we will not let our people down. As long as we keep fighting and giving and loving and caring, then we're gonna be okay. Not gonna say every day is gonna be sunshine and rainbows. I mean, it would be nice, but realistically, I like to believe we will get there. I mean, we've come so far. So,
wow. I think we're just going to wrap up the interview right there. You said it was beautiful what you said. So I wanted to thank you, Jamila, for talking to me. It's very inspirational. You're so upbeat, even though, you know, you've come through some incredibly hard times. And I wanted to thank you for speaking with me. Once again, this was Circe Olson-Wessner. I'm the director of the Museum of the American Military Family in Teheris, and I've been speaking with Jamila Horton. I just wanted to say thanks, Jamila. Keep on writing and dreaming, and it's going to be okay. You're going to get your place in the sun here shortly. So thank you for talking to us today.
All right. Thank you, and I look forward to sharing my art to everyone.
Yeah, so. And so when we get you a website set up, we will post it on the museum blog. Well, anyway,
all right.
Thank you so much.